Larry Vizzavi and his out-of-town checks with our theme, Musicians Come and Play, means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM, and it is program 569 in that continuing series. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. We are now at 14 minutes before the hour of 12 noon, 59, our current temperature here in Albany. We have our guest on the line. We're going to bring him in and say good morning to Mr. Chris Kelchin. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, Cy. How are you? Doing good.
Well, we are doing wonderful here, and glad to have you on the program once again, Chris. It's been a while, and we got a little catching up to do. Again, let's start at the beginning, where you were born and raised. For the folks that don't know who Chris Kelchin is, give them a little history, okay?
No problem. Born and raised in Mankato, Minnesota, which is, well, for the old-time folks on the program today, it's about 30 miles west of New Ulm.
All right.
I'm sorry, 30 miles east of New Ulm. I got my directions all mixed up.
There you go. All right. And who was Mom and Dad?
I'm sorry?
Who was your mom and dad?
Yeah, my mom and dad are Sherry and Terry Kelchin.
Okay.
And they've been very supportive over the years of the band, and started out, you know, as a small child, going and listening to old-time music, sitting in with my uncle's band. And, you know, through high school, ended up playing in my own band, and then now here we are, nearly 50 years later, and things are still going good.
Awesome. That's awesome. And you started out, did you play an instrument prior to the concertina? Did you play a musical instrument in band or anything?
You know, they wouldn't let me in the school band, oddly enough, because the rules at the time were you had to have 2 years of formal piano lessons, and I didn't meet that requirement.
Oh, my. Okay.
So I never did end up playing in the school band, but I played drums, and then a little bit later I ended up playing piano, and now, of course, I almost exclusively play the concertina.
Yeah, yeah. And so how did you learn music then? I mean, most people all need either a choir or band or something to kind of give you the basics, what a quarter note, a half note, all of those things are, and how'd you get started?
Well, you know, it's fascinating how the human brain works for some people versus others. I know musicians that only sight read, and then I know musicians that can hear a part and turn around and play it. And I'm somewhere in between. For whatever reason, music theory and so forth comes pretty easy to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand it pretty well. I can sit down at the piano and play just about any chord or anything anybody would throw at me.
Okay.
But my sight reading ability isn't as quick as I would be sometimes. So I mostly play by ear, but I can translate that to chords and chord structure pretty easily on the fly.
Okay. So you grew up in the Mankato area. You went to school there probably and graduated from there?
Yep, that's correct. Went to school at Mankato East High School.
Okay. And then go on to any college of any sort?
Yeah, there's been a few over the years. Columbia Southern, Concordia College in St. Paul, South Central College in Mankato. So I guess you could call me a lifelong student now that I think about it that way.
There you go. And was it music you took up in college, or what did you pursue in college?
No, I didn't pursue music in college. I needed to make a living.
Okay.
So I've got a couple different business degrees.
Oh, well, good for you. Good for you. So then along the way, somehow you picked up the concertina and became quite an accomplished concertina player. Now, how did that journey begin?
That's a long story. I started playing the concertina when I was about 29 years old. So I came to the concertina pretty late in life, you know, compared to a lot of colleagues that, you know, grew up with it with, you know, in their hand and played from a young age. So
sure.
I started playing the concertina pretty young in life, but or pretty late in life, I should say. You know, but the catalyst for that was, you know, at the time my daughter was born, had some health problems, and I needed something to do with my time other than to worry about the struggles of life. So I decided at that time to kind of pick up the concertina and kind of go back to my old-time roots. Prior to that, a lot of the bands that I was playing in were rock and roll bands.
Okay, okay. Well, and then to kind of fast forward real quickly, you put out a documentary, a video, a DVD, a movie, whatever you want to call it, and invited me to be part of that, and I'm really honored to be on that with you. And that kind of tells your story. I think it was so well done and very, very interesting. And you tell that how you got married, and I'll let you tell it in your own words, but how you got married and how you needed to do the concertina for your own sake of mind, and all the struggles with Evelyn. And then you had another child, and now to see them in that DVD production playing instruments with the band, with your full band, with the Riverbend Dutchman, I mean, it just gives you goose pimples on top of goose pimples. Take it away and, you know, tell your side of it, how this all came about.
Sure. Well, it came about, the movie just finished its theatrical run in theaters, and it is now available on DVD. But the project itself started about 3 years ago. And the idea at the time was to really tell the story of kind of the arc, not just polka music broadly, but really focusing on kind of the big Dutchman-style bands from years ago through the height of their popularity up until now present day, and then to compound all of that, all of the things that go along with it, the ballrooms, the dancers, the radio programs, the television programs, etc. And so that was kind of the original concept. And I know a couple filmmakers that have been very successful, been involved in a lot of large projects before, and started talking with them about it. And we were able to get the project at least partially funded. And so we decided to go ahead, and throughout the course of, like, the first year was kind of planning, if you will. The second year was principal photography and actually doing the interviews and the photography piece of it. And then the last year was kind of the editing and the sound design and all of these things. But in the process of planning for the film, the filmmakers, and to their credit, I think it was a good idea, but they said, you know, we don't want to just have a boring Wikipedia article of all these facts and dates and names and so on. As interesting as that is to us in the old time, we really wanted to reach a broader audience and to connect with people. And one of the themes that came out, or a couple of the themes that came out in the interview process with all the people, was that, you know, music is very personal to a lot of people. It brings together families and communities and especially old-time music in particular, is, you know, very positive. It's happy music. And so we wanted to tie in, you know, kind of a personal story, if you will, that would kind of be a little bit more engaging or be kind of like a secondary interleave sort of plot line. And it was Zach Rivers, our director of cinematography, that had the idea. You know, Chris, you have a pretty compelling story. We think this would be good to kind of interleave into the film. And I thought about it for a while. It was never my intent at all. But we had a family meeting, and we talked about it. And once Evelyn gave the green light, then we jumped in with both feet. And so you end up with this arc of old-time music from, you know, the German, Czech, Bohemian immigrants coming over, you know, in the later 1800s and bringing their music with them, and how that evolved into the Dutchman bands and the big ballrooms. But you also get kind of this personal story, if you will, that very nearly could have been a tragedy, that to really kind of underscore that personal healing touch of music and how that brings not just my family, but, you know, we found in talking to people, there's thousands of stories out there like that that people have and why music is important and healing for them. And so that's kind of how the film came about.
Well, and that's what impressed me so, because, you know, I have my own story. You know that we lost our daughter at the age of 16, kind of parallel to your situation and yet almost the opposite. So our daughter was born normal, and we had three children before we knew what happened, and life was great, and we're just winging along. And all of a sudden, this degenerative disease starts in, and we find out through genetic counseling that we have a 1 in 4 chance of having more affected children, and that Tammy's life prognosis was not good, and she wound up dying at the age of 16. And so our story turned kind of sad as the years went by, even though I was involved with music and playing and all of that. And yours, kind of the opposite from what I viewed in the movie. Yours started out on pins and needles. I mean, Evelyn's pictures of her in New York laying in these hospitals and just wired up to the max. And, you know, I'm sure you, well, you'd have to say it in your own words, but you must have not hardly slept that night wondering if she's going to make it through the night, huh?
Yeah, it's hard to explain or to put into words. And, you know, people that haven't been through something like that with a child, we'll never know, and good for them. People shouldn't have to know. I think, and you probably dealt with something similar, Si, in terms of, you know, there's a lot of pain and suffering and worry, and you don't sleep. And, yeah. You know, in Evelyn's case, even when we were prevented from sleeping just because she needed to be on around-the-clock medication, so we were waking up multiple times a night for the first several years of her life, you know, because she needed these constant medications throughout an entire 24-hour period. And, you know, it's stressful in ways that you can't really put into words. And a lot of people don't understand that. And, you know, blessings to them for not having to go through that. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But it was at some point in dealing with all of that, you know, mentally, I need to do something. And for whatever reason, I grew up with old-time music. That's kind of where my heart was. And it's like, you know what? I've always been impressed by these guys that play the concertina, and I want to learn how to do that. And so
you
that's
bet.
How that all started.
You bet. And not to leave out the wives, I mean, and I think probably you the same way. As a man, we were the breadwinners of the family, or in my case, it was that way. And my wife stayed home 24/7 with our daughter. And I always want to give her credit, because she seen it 24 hours a day, whereas I had that release where I would do my daytime job at the meat market, play dance jobs on the weekends. And, of course, usually at a dance job, everything is happy and fine, and so you kind of get away from it. But in your case, too, I think your wife was there probably just as much, if not more, than you were, huh?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, people deal with stress differently, you know. In her case, you know, she got a lot of support, I think, from a lot of, like, these parents groups. You know, there's some kind of support groups and things, and, you know, interacting and meeting other parents with children that have similar conditions. And I personally, that was never something I felt was helpful for me for support. And so the way I kind of handled it was through music, and, you know, it's not right, wrong, or indifferent. It's just, I think, people handle stress and deal with it differently.
So for the folks listening in, how old is Evelyn today?
Evelyn is 18, and she's standing about 20 feet from me outside the car, so she's doing quite well.
That's awesome. And free of any symptoms of her earlier condition, or is she still have to be cautious about medications or things?
Yeah, no, so she has pulmonary hypertension, and that's a lifelong condition. There's no cure presently. And so she still takes a regimen of medications, and she needs to be very careful, you know, especially cold and flu season with, you know, germs and not getting sick, because it has such a negative impact on her more than a healthy person. You know, so it's something that she'll have to live with for the rest of her life.
But she's able to play the saxophone and be part of music as well, huh?
Yep. She's taken a healthy interest. Both the kids have taken a healthy interest in music. And it's refreshing.
And the other one is a boy?
Yep, August, and he is 14.
Okay.
And he plays the trumpet.
Ah, that's very good. You bet. Well, very good. Chris, we're going to take a quick break here to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market. Then we'll come back to you and continue the conversation, if that's all right.
Sounds good.
All right. So, the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats and award-winning sausages. The brat of the week this week is the smoked chili cheese brats. These brats are one of our more spicy and full-flavored brats. I think they are especially good diced up in a hot dish or a casserole. Come in this week and try some for yourself. Take off 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long in limited quantities. October is Pork Month at the St. Joe Meat Market, and the St. Joe Meat Market carries all of your favorite pork products, from pork chops, pork steaks, spare ribs, Yankee ribs, and more. Pork the other white meat, always at the right price and so juicy and flavorful. Also new at the St. Joe Meat Market are our pizza-flavored wieners and our roast beef, Swiss, and mozzarella stuffed green peppers. Boy, are they good. Come in and try some for yourself. As always, for more great in-store specials, like us on Facebook, look us up on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com. Again, that's the St. Joe Meat Market, and they thank you for your patronage. Chris, for being our guest on the program, you've been here before, you know how it works. We've got a nice meat package put off. We're going to send it out to you in the mail, priority mail, and you'll get it in a day or so, and hope that you and all the family around you enjoy it in good health. How's that?
Wonderful. Thank you. Very kind.
Very, very good. And we didn't mention your wife's name. Your wife's name is?
Wife's name is Melissa.
Melissa, very good. So, yes, we wish you and Melissa, Evelyn, and August a very, very healthy time and enjoying the meat package. So, good. Well, who were some of the musicians, the concertina players that you so looked up to as you began your career playing concertina?
Yeah, there were a lot of folks. I almost hesitate to mention anybody because inevitably I'll forget somebody unintentionally. But, you know, the folks I looked up to or listened to, you know, are probably familiar names. Donnie Klausner, Elmer Scheid, Johnny Gogg. You know, Jerry Minar was pretty influential in my early, you know, playing and starting out. You know, so there's just a lot of people, you know, and from years ago that were influences, but, you know, I also think of folks like, you know, Brian Brigham, you know, fantastic, probably one of my most favorite concertina players. And, you know, there's just a lot of folks out there that are really super talented musicians that it's pretty easy to find people to look up to.
Well, you're playing the concertina and all of a sudden you decide that you should have a full band supporting you. And that became the River Bend Dutchmen. How did that come to be?
Well, you know, I had been a musician, so playing in a band was, you know, part of who I was. And so it was a pretty natural transition for me playing the concertina. It's like, well, it's nice to do it at home for myself and learn how. You know, in starting out, you know, I would probably practice, you know, no exaggeration, probably 6 or 8 hours a day.
Wow.
Some days,
yeah.
You know, four or five days a week. Mm-hmm. You know, so I put a lot of time and effort into it. But at a certain point, I thought, you know, I think we can do this. And, you know, I know several people in the business, and I called up a few of my friends and said, hey, let's start this. What do you think? And we got it off the ground. And, you know, the band, though, has evolved from where it started back in about 2009.
Okay.
You know, we started out as a 4 or 5 piece, nothing real organized or formal in terms of arrangements and libraries. And, you know, today the band has grown tremendously in terms of complexity and players. You know, so now we almost never ever tour or take a job with fewer than 8 players. You know, we have yep. our own full library, you know, full horn section. And, you know, it's pretty organized from a musical perspective. It's not kind of by the seat of our pants. Everything's pretty well rehearsed and written out. And so the band has really grown in that regard since we first started it, you know, in that time.
Well, and I think you almost mimic the traditional old-time bands. I mean, you see pictures of, say, Elmer Scheid, and he's standing there playing the concertina, and you look over to his right, and he's got a full set of horns there, probably 2 trumpets, 2 saxes, a great tuba player in the back, a bass horn player, maybe on occasion a banjo or a keyboard player, and I see you the same way. Do you ever pinch yourself and say, is this really happening to me? I've had the opportunity over the years a couple of times to lead the band playing the concertina, and I've looked and I've thought to myself, how can I be in this situation? The good Lord has really blessed me. What's your impression?
Yeah, you kind of stole my thunder, Si, because I know you're going to ask me what one of my, you know, favorite memories was, and that was exactly the example I was going to use, is that, you know, a lot of times the band's just clicking, things are going, you know, really good. We're in a groove, and you look over to the right of the stage, and they're not just musicians that play with me. We're a pretty tight-knit group of
yep.
people, you know, so they're really some of my best friends. But I look over, and I know their backgrounds, where they've all come from. You know, several of the members in the band are inductees into the Minnesota Music Hall of Fame, and on more than one occasion, that's probably my best memory, and I can't point to a specific time because it's happened several times, but there are times like that when you look over and everything's just clicking along and the band's in a groove, and you look over and you have to pinch yourself and just take a step back and say, this is a pretty cool moment that will never come again once it's over. And exactly what you said, how did I get here? This is truly amazing for any musician. And it's a high, it's a feeling that you can't really explain or put words to, but it's special when it happens.
You bet. So if you were going to build an old-time band, starting with yourself on concertina, kind of in priority order, what would you add next, like the drums or the tuba? Build your band just for the folks listening.
Well, I've already done that.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's maybe a little bit dependent on the venue or the situation where you're going to be playing.
Okay.
You know, I think, you know, being a concertina player, the concertina is very versatile by itself. So beyond that, then the next important thing really becomes kind of the rhythm, you
yep.
know, the bass and the drums.
Yep.
You know, and I add in a piano as part of our instruments. Some of the old time bands, some of the old Dutchman bands used a banjo, but mm-hmm. it kind of filled the same purpose.
Yep.
And from there you start building out the horn section.
Sure.
And you know, I am so fortunate, the folks that are playing with me, everybody is a multi instrumentalist. So they're playing trumpets, trombones, saxophones, clarinets, so everybody's bringing 2 or 3 instruments with them, which really gives us, in terms of arrangements, a great deal of flexibility on what we're able to play.
Oh, that is so true. And I happen to know most of the guys in your band. I've played, performed with them, with Lester Schuft on the recordings there. And just going down the line from Rick Kane to Myron Milbauer, Jerry Cale, Gary Schrader, Mike Bodine, I just met here a couple of weeks ago, tuba players, Crystal, of course, on drums, and Nancy on keyboard now. You've really got an all-star lineup there for a band.
Yep. I think you hit the nail on the head, but we left out Jens Jensen.
And Jens, yes, yeah.
Who's a tremendous player with a great deal of experience, played for, I think it's almost 50 years with the Rainbow Valley Dutchman.
Yeah.
You can't ask for better folks. And like I said, we've all become very close friends. And so it's not just a band or something we do. I mean, we're always talking to each other throughout the week, or texting or joking back and forth. You know, we, over the last summer here, you know, we had obviously Evelyn graduated from high school, and, you know, so the band comes and they, you know, it's like family. You know, the band comes and, you know, eats the hot dog and the hamburger and the beans, and, you know, just like anybody else in the family would. And that's kind of how close we've gotten.
You bet. And on top of it, you have followed a lot of the bands, maybe a leader in that industry. But I think if you go back, you know, 30, 40 years, maybe more than that, Whoopi John, Elmer Scheid, maybe even Babe Wagner, a lot of those bands, they were so good, great music to dance to, but they just sat there and played. And that's the comment I've heard from a lot of listeners. Then you kind of evolved to bands like Jerry Schuft and Earl Schmidt. Earl Schmidt and some of the other bands, where they kind of added in some showmanship, some antics. You got Jerry Cadillac, and they're goofing around, and the people all of a sudden aren't just dancing, they're watching the band because they are so entertained with what they're doing. And I think I see that with your group as well.
Yeah, definitely. There's a few, I'll call them show tunes that we do that people enjoy, and different things that we do. You know, one of the things that's become really popular is we do Mike Bodine and myself do a version of the Sharpshooters March that really kind of features Mike on the tuba. And, you know, he takes that big 20J and he holds it up like it's nothing, and we stand there next to each other and play the heck out of it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, people enjoy that, you know. So, yeah, there's definitely a show business aspect to it. And the only other maybe difference I would draw in comparison with some of those older bands you mentioned, the Wagner Band, Whoopi John, you know, one thing to remember is those guys that were playing in those bands, they were playing 350 jobs a year. I mean,
True.
That was their full-time job.
Yep.
And so the bands like that get really tight. And I feel like we're pretty tight, but it's still pretty awe-inspiring to listen to some of those recordings from some of the bands years ago, because they were really, really, really tight. And from a musicianship standpoint, not that we have any second-class players. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's just the bands, when you play together that often, the band just inevitably feeds upon itself and gets better.
And thus the saying, practice makes perfect. When you're practicing every day of the year, you're definitely, there's no chance of not getting better. I mean, you just improve every day. So it's the way it is. You bet. You mentioned recordings. Quickly, before our time runs out, so you've got a number of recordings out, Chris, on CD.
Yep. Our recordings you can find on our website, riverbenddutchman.com. And copies of that DVD from that feature film Song and Dance, you know, if you're a person that loves musicians, you love old-time music, you love ballrooms, you love dancing, you love personal stories, this is really truly a film that has something for everybody. All the feedback we've received is that it's been very engaging and positive, and everybody that we've talked to has absolutely enjoyed it. But you can get movies or copies of the DVD off the film's website, which is songanddancethemovie.com.
Okay.
Songanddancethemovie.com. And then, okay, of course, we keep a big social media presence as well. But yeah, we've got 4 or 5 recordings out. We're talking about doing another recording this fall, so we haven't put any tape down yet. So I don't know a timeline on when that might be ready, but I think in November here we've got a couple dates planned to do some recording.
Well, I'll look forward to hearing about that. You keep me in the loop on that, like always. And yeah, I've got I think I've got 4 of your recordings right now in hand. The latest one would be Grab a Little Sunshine, huh? That's the most recent?
Correct, yep.
Grab a Little Sunshine. Yeah, picture on the back of your son there holding the button box, huh?
Nope, that's a picture of me.
Oh, really? Oh, that's a throwback to you there.
Yep.
Ah, awesome.
Yep.
Okay, I would have guessed it was your son. Okay, so my bad. Ah, very good. And the other CDs that you've got out, one called Enjoy Yourself, that came out in 2017. And then you've got 2 previous ones. Your first one was Chris and the Riverbend Dutchmen Live, a live show. Partners, Brothers, and Friends?
Yep.
That was
and then the first studio album we did was Smile.
Smile, there you go. Very good. Yes, and I have all of those on hand, so they can always get them at the meat market in St. Joe from me, or like you mentioned, on your website, so still available. So that is great. And well, we've gotten to that time of the show, so I had warned you that I was going to ask you about a memory. If I stole your thunder, I apologize, but you can still run it again because I'm sure the folks will enjoy it.
Yeah, well, they don't want to hear me say it twice, but there have been just so many wonderful memories of music, and it's not just the music, but it's the people you meet. And, you know, I encourage everybody, come on out to a dance. You can't help but have a good time, and you'll definitely meet new people, and you'll definitely, you know, make connections and become friends with people. And maybe that's the special memory of old-time music as you think about it in totality, is just the wonderful people that you meet and the relationships that you make with people, and that's truly special.
You bet. On occasion, I see the schedule for Playmore Ballroom at Glencoe. You guys are there off and on. Any other places that folks might see Chris and the Riverbend Dutchmen? What does the future look like?
Yep. We play about 40 dates a year. We're just in Albert Lea last night at an Oktoberfest. I'm talking to you now from Ames, Iowa, and we're up in New Ulm here. I think it's a private party, though. I probably shouldn't say that. And then Glencoe, I think the 26th is a Sunday. That's their Halloween dance. I know they're going to have a lot of cash prizes for best dressed costume and so on. Some pretty big prizes, too. I think like first place is like $100 or $50 or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but they're going to have a great time in Glencoe and really whoop it up. And then I think we're frequently at the Lake Marion Ballroom, but, you know, we travel around so much. Anyone that wants to know what our schedule is, the best place to find it is on the band's website, riverbenddutchman.com.
Perfect. Well, with that, we're going to let you run, Chris. Really want to thank you for joining us again. Sure do appreciate it. And the good Lord willing, like I've told you in the past, good Lord willing, we'll do it again down the road sometime. How's that for you?
Sounds good.
All right. So if you want to stay right there, Chris, I'll talk to you off the air. But have a great afternoon. And there he goes, Chris Kelchin, our 569th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by Chris and the Riverbend Dutchmen in just moments. Thank you. Larry Rezavian is out of town. Check our theme wrapping up right there. Musicians Come and Play. Wrapping up our 569th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Chris Kelchin, our guest, and what a wonderful guest. He is so talented and educated, too. He understands people, and he understands music, and makes for a great, great person, a great leader of the band. We're at 21 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, 58 our current temperature here in Albany. We're going to start out with one of Chris's recordings. This is from his 2017 recording, Enjoy Yourself, and it's one of my favorite polkas. Goes back to the Rainbow Valley Dutchman, the Rainbow Valley Polka. Chris and the Riverbend Dutchman, one called the Rainbow Valley Polka. Another great old-time polka with Chris and the Riverbend Dutchman. This is off of his 2023 recording, one called the One-Eyed Jack Polka. Thank you. Chris and the Riverbend Dutchman, a great polka tune there, and that is one called the One-Eyed Jack Polka. As we're in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, and that is always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours out of St. Joe, Minnesota. Jeannie B texting me information, and I just have to pull it up. And this time, Jeannie texting me, and I got to find the beginning of it here. A lot of information from Jeannie. Yes, Jeannie B's Tours wants to invite the listeners and their friends and relatives to join the Holly Jolly Gang departing November 28th for a Branson Christmas. This 6 days of festive fun includes 10 meals, 6 shows, 5 nights, lodging, sightseeing of Branson's hidden gems, holiday goodies, Christmas present prizes on Trobec's Deluxe Motor Coach, experience guides, and even some Christmas carols along the way. Night one is at the Drury Inn in Kansas City with an optional evening at the beautiful Ameristar Riverboat Casino. Shows on this itinerary include Clay Cooper's Country Christmas, the Haygood Family Holiday Show, hits of the 60s and 50s too, the Presley's Christmas Jubilee, Showboat Branson Bell, Dinner Cruise Show, and Hot Rods and High Heels. Call Jeannie B's Tours, 320-345-1581 this week and receive $25 off per person when mentioning that Cy says, join the Jeannie B's Christmas in Branson Tour. If you are thinking about an extended tour vacation in 2026, check out the awesome tours, including Alaska Cruises and Alaska Call of the Wild Land Only, Ireland, New England, Canadian Rockies, Alpine countries, including Switzerland, England, and Wales, California Railway Tours, the Rose Parade and California Tour, Pacific Northwest, West Virginia, and Williamsburg, Washington, D.C., and Hawaii. Jeannie B's has 6 spots available on the February 12th Panama Canal Cruise. This Tuesday, October 7th, join, and actually that's already passed, so let's we'll pass on that part of the ad. The tour office at Jeannie B's in St. Joe is located at 124 First Avenue Southeast, St. Joseph. Flora Designs and Whatnot Shop are located in the old Kennedy School building next to the St. Joe Government Building. You will see presentations for all of the Jeannie B's Tours 2026 Extended Flyout Tours. And so Jeannie B's, a new shop for fall, Christmas, and year-round floral decor and gift items are available. Gift certificates for Jeannie B's Tours and the Floral Designs and Whatnot Shop are available for people on your Christmas list. Jeannie B's open on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Wednesday and Friday by appointment. Call Jeannie B's once again at 320-345-1581, and friendly staff will answer your questions. Now is the time to reserve your 2025 fall and holiday getaways and any 2026 extended tours. Remember, seeing is believing. And that is all for you from Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, or now St. Joe, Minnesota. She used to be out of Freeport, and they have now moved to St. Joe. And in the old Kennedy School building, Jeannie B's Tours. Yes, she proudly brings us our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. 12:30, coming up on 29 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock. 58 degrees, our current temperature. Waltz time as Chris and the Riverbend Dutchman perform Evening Shadows Waltz, an old Babe Wagner tune. We'll be right back. Chris and the Riverbend Dutchmen, very, very nice recording there of a Babe Wagner selection, Evening Shadows Waltz. We're at 27 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock and a temperature of 58 degrees. Here's another great old-time polka, one recorded back in the days by Elmer Scheid and his band. This one, Chris and his Riverbend Dutchmen at the Mill Polka. The Mill Polka, Chris and the Riverbend Dutchmen. Here's one that Chris talked about in the interview. Mike Budin on the tuba solo. It's the Sharpshooter's March.
Thank you.
Chris and the Riverbend Dutchman. Boy, what a great recording there. The Sharpshooter's March. As we're in the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, always brought to us by Kevin's Countryside, home of the Hustler brand zero-turn lawnmowers. Kevin, located 6 miles northwest of St. Joe on County Road 3, the Hustler is the original zero-turn lawnmower, helps eliminate the trimming and extra trimming and mowing of your lawn. Kevin still with a nice inventory of brand new Hustlers on hand. And of course, Kevin does repair work on all makes and models. He can change your lubricants, belts, and hoses, sharpen your blades. Kevin also accepts trades. He'll make you a sweet deal on your present lawnmower. For more information, give him a call, 320-363-7459. Very important to give him a call. This time of the year is harvest time. And so if Kevin doesn't have anything going in the shop, and that's not often that that happens, but he'll jump on the combine and get out there combining those beans, combining corn. He puts in the family farm, kind of like the one-armed bandit. He also carries that Eagle brand 56-volt lithium battery-powered equipment. He has handheld blowers, backpack blowers, chainsaws and pole saws, self-propelled lawnmowers, and more. Again, they're all powered by that 56-volt lithium battery. Call Kevin at 320-363-7459. Kevin's Countryside, bringing us the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. Coming up on 18 minutes now before the hour, 1 o'clock, time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. We're going to do that with a nice waltz tune with Chris and the Riverbend Dutchman. It's the Blue Skirt Waltz.
Diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands.
And bump the old mouse, and that jumps into the commercials. So, yeah, we will get to our commercial messages here in just a moment. But that wraps up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM.